We thought it would be a normal camping trip. Then we heard the howling. I don't even know why I'm writing this. No one's gonna believe me anyway. Hell, I barely believe it, and I was there. It was supposed to be just a quick trip. Me, Brandon, Casey, and Tyler, four friends bored out of our minds one summer hit. We figured camping out in the state park would beat another weekend of sitting around doing nothing. The drive out there was uneventful. Warm air, windows down, music blasting. The kind of day that made you forget that anything bad could even happen in the world. By the time we parked the car and started hiking to our spot, a little clearing off one of the lesser known trails, the sun was low, bleeding through the trees in these long, skinny shadows. The woods were weirdly quiet. Not totally silent, but off. No birdsong, no buzzing insects, just the crunch of our boots in the undergrowth, and the occasional snap of a twig underfoot. Tyler joked it felt like we were walking into a horror movie. None of us laughed. We set up camp quick. One tent for the guys, one for Casey, a small fire pit dug in the center. And for a while, it was good. Normal. We passed around a couple of beers Brandon had swiped from his older brother. Told dumb stories, roasted marshmallows. It was just us and the woods and the stars. Then the howling started. It wasn't a wolf. It wasn't a coyote either. We knew what those sound like. This was lower, heavier. It rolled through the trees like thunder, rattling the inside of my chest. We all just sat there, frozen around the fire, staring at each other. Casey laughed nervously, saying it was probably just some animal. But none of us bought it. Not really. The second howl came closer. It was followed by something else. Something big moving through the trees. Branches snapping. Heavy, deliberate footsteps. Brandon stood up first, trying to play it cool. "It's a deer," he said. "Maybe an elk. Relax." But the way his voice shook gave him away. I don't think any of us actually saw it at first. It was just this shape moving just outside the firelight, pacing. Low to the ground at first, but then it rose up, higher than any person should be able to, taller than even the biggest deer or bear. Its eyes caught the firelight. They glowed yellow. I swear to God, in that moment, the whole world just stopped. No crackling fire, no wind. No breathing. Just those two orbs staring back at us. It didn't run at us. It stalked, circling the camp like it was sizing us up. Brandon hissed for us to grab our stuff, but nobody moved. We were pinned there, like prey that knew it had already been caught. The thing growled, this deep, wet rumble that I felt more than heard. And that's when Casey finally screamed. It charged. Instinct took over. We scattered, no plan, no coordination, just raw panic exploding outward from the fire. I don't even remember standing up. One second I was sitting there, the next, I was sprinting into the trees so fast I nearly ate shit on the first root. Branches whipped my arms and face. The ground was uneven, the darkness so thick it felt like I was swimming through it. I could hear the others somewhere, Casey's breathless screaming, Brandon shouting, but it all blurred into the background. there was something heavier behind me. Something fast. Something hungry. I didn't dare look back. I just ran. The flashlight I had clipped to my belt bounced against my thigh. I fumbled for it with numb fingers, finally snapping it on. A narrow cone of light slashed through the woods, but it made it worse somehow. The shadows leapt and danced. Every tree looked like a figure. Every broken branch sounded like footsteps. Somewhere behind me, something snarled. It was close. Way too close. My legs burned. My lungs felt like they were tearing apart. I didn't know where I was anymore. Didn't know if I was even running away from camp or deeper into the woods. I just knew that if I stopped, even for a second, it would catch me. The forest opened up a little ahead, a shallow ravine, a dry creek bed cutting a scar through the earth. I didn't even think. I vaulted down into it, sliding on loose gravel, scraping my palms raw when I hit the bottom. Above me, something moved along the rim. I killed the flashlight and held my breath. Silence, except for the pounding of my heart against my ribs. It felt loud enough to give me away. Then, crunch. Something stepped into the dry leaves. Deliberate, slow, sniffing the air. I clamped a hand over my mouth. Hot tears blurred my vision. It was close enough that I could smell it now. This awful, musty, coppery stench, like rotting meat left out in the sun. And underneath it, something worse. Something wrong. The thing circled above the ravine, growling low in its throat, looking for me. I pressed myself flat against the rocks, praying that it couldn't see me, couldn't hear the way my whole body trembled. Minutes passed, or maybe it was hours. Time stretched and twisted itself into knots. Finally, the footsteps moved off. Still nearby, but away from me. I waited until I couldn't hear them anymore. Then I forced myself to move, crawling up the far side of the ravine like some half-dead animal, trying not to make a sound. The woods were different now. The night felt different, like it was watching me, like it wanted me to fail. I needed to find the others. Needed to get back to camp. If there was even a camp left to get back to. Every step felt like a gamble. Every shadow whispered my name. I don't know if that thing was still stalking me, or if something else was. All I knew was I wasn't safe. Not here. Not anywhere. I don't know how long I stumbled through the trees. Every few steps I had to stop and listen, heart pounding my ribs, ears straining to catch anything over the rasp of my own breath. The woods were still mostly quiet. Too quiet. Then I saw it. Brandon's backpack. It was lying half shoved under a deadfall, one strap tangled in the branches like he had dropped it while trying to get away. The whole thing was slashed open, its contents spilling across the dirt, crushed water bottles, a ripped sleeping bag, a half-crushed box of matches, and blood. Thick, dark smears across the torn nylon, droplets leading away into the trees. I knelt down, my stomach twisting into a knot. No way this was normal. No way he just fell and cut himself. It looked like he had been dragged. I reached out, hand shaking, and touched the backpack. Still damp, still warm. I didn't have time to process it before I heard it. Casey, screaming. Far away this time, but not so far that I couldn't tell how raw it was. It wasn't the kind of scream that you let out when you see a spider or trip over a log. It was the kind that rips it away out of you because something is tearing you apart from the inside out. I was already moving before I even realized it. Crashing through the undergrowth, ignoring the noise I was making, the way the branches whipped my face and arms. "Casey!" I shouted, my voice cracking. No answer. Just the endless forest pressing in around me, swallowing my words whole. The scream came again, choked this time, like someone clamping a hand over her mouth. Then silence. Dead silence. I stumbled into a clearing, nearly tripping over a root. My flashlight's beam jittering wildly across the trees, and that's when I caught a glimpse of something. Something wrong. A figure, hunched and huge, moving fast between the trees on two legs. Dragging something behind it. Casey. Her arms limp, her head bobbing with each lurching step. The thing hauling her wasn't human. Wasn't even close. It was covered in matted black fur, its shoulders broad enough to block out the trees behind it, long, two long arms ending in hooked claws. And the head? God. The head was a twisted parody of a wolf's. Long muzzle, teeth like broken glass, ears flat against its skull. But the eyes. The eyes were almost human. And they were looking right at me. I froze. It didn't charge this time. Didn't snarl. It just stared, like it was daring me. Come closer. See what happens. I wanted to move. Wanted to scream. Wanted to do something. But all I could do was stand there, my breath frosting the air, my legs locked in place by some primal terror that went deeper than fear, deeper than survival. It was like every cell in my body knew this was the end of the food chain. And I wasn't at the top. The thing gave a low, almost lazy growl, then slung Casey over one shoulder and melted into the trees without a sound. Gone. I was alone again. More alone than I had ever been in my life. Casey was still alive. She had to be. I couldn't leave her. Even though my gut twisted itself into knots, even though every cell in my body shrieked that I should turn and run until my legs gave out, I stepped forward. One foot, then another. Into the trees. Into the dark. The creature's trail wasn't hard to follow. Deep gouges in the dirt where its claws had dragged, snapped branches, and the faintest smear of blood here and there, black under the weak beam of my flashlight. I killed the light after a few minutes. Too risky. It would see me coming from a mile away. Now I was moving blind, my hands stretched out in front of me, feeling for trees and brush, trying to make as little noise as possible. Every sound felt amplified, the crunch of my boots, the rasp of my breath, the racing thunder of my heart. The woods pressed closer, the night hung heavier. Somewhere ahead, I heard movement. Slow, dragging footsteps, heavy breathing that wasn't mine. The stink of it hit me again, thick and coppery and wrong, clinging to the back of my throat. I crept closer, weaving between trees, my body screaming for me to stop, to hide, to do anything but this. But I kept moving. Then the trees thinned out, and I saw it. The creature had stopped in a small hollow, a natural pit surrounded by rotting stumps and jagged rocks. It crouched over Casey's limp body, sniffing her like a dog scenting a new toy. I could see it fully now, illuminated by the sickly pale moonlight. Massive, scarred, muscles rippling under patchy, filthy fur. Its legs were wrong, more like a man's than a wolf's, bent and powerful. Its hands, too. Not paws. Hands. Huge, clawed, twitching with excitement. It opened its mouth, panting heavily, long strands of saliva dripping onto the dirt. I had seconds, maybe less. And I had nothing. No weapon, no plan. Just the adrenaline pounding through me and the stupid, desperate urge to save my friend. I stepped forward. The branch under my foot cracked. The thing's head snapped up, ears prickling, nostrils flaring. For a second, we just stared at each other. Me frozen in a half light. It crouched and tensed, like a spring about to snap. Casey groaned. Alive. That broke whatever spell was holding me still. I shouted. I don't even remember what. Something raw and wordless. And hurled a rock at it. It hit the creature square in the shoulder. It barely flinched. But it stood up. Slowly. Menacingly. And now, it wasn't looking at Casey anymore. It was looking at me. I didn't even think. I sprinted forward, screaming at the top of my lungs, grabbing the biggest branch I could find along the way, a jagged, heavy thing barely the length of my arm. The dogman jerked towards me, startled just long enough for me to swing the branch full force into its ribs. It was like hitting a wall. The branch cracked, splintering against its matted fur. The creature barely staggered, but it snarled, more in anger than pain, its lips peeling back to reveal those broken glass teeth. Good. I needed it pissed. I needed it focused on me. "Come on, you ugly bastard!" I yelled, waving my arms, stumbling backwards into the trees. "Come and get me!" It didn't hesitate. The dogman lunged. I turned and ran. This wasn't bravery anymore. This was raw animal terror. The kind that overpowers everything else. Pain, exhaustion, even thought. Behind me, I could hear it crashing through the woods, snapping branches, tearing through brush, a nightmare made flesh barreling after me on two legs. I didn't look back. I didn't have to. I could feel it gaining. The ground sloped downward sharply ahead, a sudden rocky hill. I didn't slow down. Didn't even try. I launched myself over the edge, half running, half falling, scraping against rocks and roots, dirt blinding me as I tumbled down. Somewhere behind me, the dogman roared, frustrated, maybe thrown off by the sudden drop. I slammed into the bottom, ribs screaming, elbows bleeding, but I forced myself up, staggering into a run again. Every breath was fire in my lungs. Every heartbeat felt like it might rip my chest apart. I just needed to stay ahead of it, long enough for Casey to wake up, long enough for her to run. I darted through the trees, cutting sharp angles, trying to lose it, but it was fast. So fast. I could hear it gaining again. Closer. Closer. I risked a glance back. big mistake. It was only 20 feet behind me, bounding through the dark like a hell-spawned wolf, saliva flying from its snapping jaws. I didn't have another hill to throw myself off. No cliffs, no ravines. Just endless, suffocating forest. I spotted something up ahead. An ancient, massive oak, its trunk hollowed out near the base, like something had burrowed into it long ago. Maybe. I veered towards it, lungs burning, legs barely obeying anymore. I slid hard into the hollow, just as the dogman slammed into the tree behind me with a bone-rattling crash. The impact shook the whole thing. Dirt and splinters rained down around me. It shrieked this awful, furious sound somewhere between a wolf's howl and a man's scream, and started clawing at the trunk, trying to dig me out. Wood splintered inches from my face. I scrambled deeper into the hollow, heart slamming against my ribs like a trapped animal. I couldn't stay here. It would tear the tree apart eventually. I needed a plan. I needed a miracle. I needed a noise. From back towards the clearing. A shout. Casey. Weak, hoarse, but alive. The dogman froze. Its head snapped around. It hesitated, torn between me and its original prey. Then it turned and bolted back towards her. No! I choked out, trying to crawl free, but my limbs wouldn't move fast enough. I couldn't let it get her. Not after all this. Not after coming this far. Not after coming this far. Pain didn't matter. Exhaustion didn't matter. None of it mattered. All that mattered was Casey. I forced myself up, every muscle screaming in protest, and staggered after the dogman back the way I had come. My vision blurred. Every step felt like wading through concrete. But I didn't stop. Branches tore at my arms. Thorns ripped at my legs, but I didn't feel it anymore. Just the pounding of my heart, the drumbeat in my ears. Ahead, through the trees, I caught glimpses of movement. Casey scrambling backwards through the dirt, the dogman stalking towards her with slow, deliberate steps, savoring the moment. It didn't even notice me closing in. I grabbed the biggest rock I could lift, more instinct than planned, and hurled it at the creature's head with every ounce of strength I had left. It hit with a heavy thud. The dogman reeled sideways with a roar, more pissed than hurt, but it bought Casey a second. She scrambled to her feet, staggering towards me, wild-eyed, bleeding from the shallow slashes across her arms. "Run!" I bellowed. Together we tore into the trees, the dogman shrieking behind us so loud it felt like the air itself was vibrating. We didn't look back, just ran, blind, broken, desperate. But even as we ran, something shifted. The woods around us weren't just dark anymore. They were wrong. The trees leaned in closer. Their trunks gnarled like twisted limbs reaching for us. The ground underfoot grew soft and spongy, like flesh stretched thin over bone. The air thickened, heavy with the smell I hadn't noticed before, something damp and metallic, like old blood and wet stone. The howling behind us faltered, grew uncertain. It wasn't just chasing us anymore. It was hesitating, like it was afraid. Casey stumbled beside me, panting hard, her eyes wide and glassy. What? What's happening? I didn't have an answer. Only a feeling, a cold primal certainty that something worse than the Dogman was waking up there. Something ancient. Something the creature had been guarding or keeping trapped. And we were running straight towards it. The trees opened up again ahead, a clearing littered with massive jagged bones arranged in a rough circle. Some of them were carved, deep, crude symbols gouged into the rock, worn smooth by time but still wrong to look at. They pulsed faintly under the moonlight, almost like they were breathing. The Dogman stopped at the edge of the clearing. It wouldn't cross. It paced back and forth, snarling, but it wouldn't follow us between the stones. Casey and I collapsed in the center, gasping for air, too weak to go any further. For a moment, it was just us, the Dogman, and the stones. Then, the ground trembled. Not an earthquake, a heartbeat. Deep and slow and vast. So big it made the world seem tiny. The Dogman whimpered, a high, panicked sound, and bolted into the trees, disappearing without a trace. Casey clutched my arm.
What the hell is that?
I didn't know, but I knew we weren't safe. Not even close. We stayed where we were, too tired to run, too scared to move. The stones around us pulsed again, slow, rhythmic, like breathing lungs just beyond the earth. The feeling pressed against my skin, a low vibration I could feel in my bones, setting my teeth on edge. Casey clutched my sleeve, her fingers trembling. Neither of us said anything. Speaking felt dangerous somehow, like it would draw attention. The forest beyond the stones had changed. The trees weren't right anymore. They leaned inward, trunks twisting unnaturally, bending like they were watching. Their bark ran slick with thick, dark sap that smelt sharp and metallic like rust and rot. In the distance, where the Dogman had disappeared, I saw flashes of movement. Not the creature. Something else. Tall, spindly shapes shifting between the trees. Too fast. Too wrong. Casey whimpered under her breath. I squeezed her hand without looking away from the tree line. The ground beneath us cracked softly. Tiny fissures spread between the stones, bleeding a faint, oily black liquid that steamed where it touched the cold air. The smell got worse, like something ancient decaying under the soil, something trying to breathe again after too long buried. I looked down at my hands. They were shaking, sure, but more than that. The shadows pulling in the stone circle weren't natural. They clung to our skin, crawling up our arms like tendrils, thin and twitching. I jerked my hand away instinctively, wiping at it, but it didn't help. The darkness was alive. It wasn't just the ground either. The air around us thickened, turning syrupy, slowing every movement like we were caught underwater. It pulled at our clothes, our hair, whispering at the edges of hearing. Words. Or almost words. Join us. Come down. Sleep.
Mr. Monopoly here. Monopoly is back at McDonald's. Register in the McDonald's app so you're ready to
get your bag.
Two ways to peel for a chance to
get your bag.
Physical peels with select items and digital peels with others to
get your bag.
Play Monopoly at McDonald's.
Ba-da-ba-ba-ba. No purchase necessary. See rules at playmcd.com for full details and amoe.playmcd.com to play without purchase. Ends November 23rd, but bonus play ends November 2nd. Monopoly is a registered trademark of Hasbro. Copyright McDonald's.
This is an ad by BetterHelp. Workplace stress is now a leading cause of declining mental health, with 61% of the global workforce feeling it more than ever. You can't escape work, but you can take small steps to take care of yourself. A walk, some sun, a favorite song. Therapy is one of those steps. Ongoing support to build resilience for whatever your day throws at you. Balance is tough. Getting help shouldn't be. Visit BetterHelp.com today to get 10% off your first month.
Casey squeezed her eyes shut. This isn't real. This isn't real. But it was. The forest around the clearing had gone silent. No insects, no wind, nothing. Just us and the thing beneath us, waiting. I couldn't sit there anymore. Neither of us could. The longer we stayed, the worse it got. The shadows crawling up our legs, the ground pulsing like a diseased heart, the air pressing down until it felt like we were breathing wet cloth. "We have to move," I said, barely recognizing my own voice. Casey just nodded, wide-eyed and pale. Together, we bolted. The second we crossed beyond the stones, the forest seemed to shudder, like it had been holding its breath and then exhaled in a wet, eager gust. The trees closed in, branches gnarling and twisting, reaching for us like rasping fingers. The ground was soft and uneven, squelching under our feet like we were running across something's rotting skin. And the sounds. God, the sounds. It wasn't right anymore. I could still hear Casey's breathing beside me, but it was wrong, warped somehow. Her gasps sounded slow and deep, like something underwater, while my own breath echoed a half second behind me, too loud, too sharp, like someone was chasing me in perfect mimicry. The forest groaned and whispered with every step we took. Not words exactly, but almost. Snatches of broken, wet syllables, like someone trying to remember how to speak after being buried too long. Ahead, the trees thinned, and I saw it. The camp. Or what was left of it. Our tents were shredded. The fire pit had been overturned, the ashes scattered like bones. The car was still there, perched at the edge of the trailhead. Maybe. Something moved at the corner of my vision. I skidded to a halt, dragging Casey down with me. Figures. Tall, thin, stretching impossibly long between the trees. Their faces were wrong, smooth and featureless, like melted wax. Their arms were too long. Their bodies shifted as they moved, rippling like reflections off broken glass. The dogman was gone. These things had replaced it. They didn't charge. They didn't run. They just watched, waiting. Casey was crying now, silent tears streaking the grime on her cheeks.
"We have to go," she whispered.
I nodded. We stayed low, creeping through the ruins of the campsite, the car only 20 yards away. Every step felt like walking through molasses. My hearing kept warping. I heard Casey's voice calling for me ahead, even though she was clutching my arm. I heard my own voice behind me, begging myself to turn around. Lies. Tricks. We made it to the car. I fumbled for the keys, my fingers numb and clumsy. The door groaned open loud enough to shatter the silence. I shoved Casey inside. I scrambled around for the driver's side. The figures were moving now.
slow, pacing, and circling. I jammed the key into the ignition. It groaned. Once, twice, the shadows closing in. Please, please. The engine roared to life. I slammed my foot on the gas. The car fishtailed wildly, gravel spraying, but we tore down the narrow trail, headlights carving a desperate path through the deformed forest. I didn't look back. Not until we hit the main road, an endless black ribbon under the stars, and the woods finally thinned behind us. Even then, I saw them, standing at the tree line, watching, waiting. As the car barrels down the empty road, Casey finally speaks, her voice raw.
Did you see them?
I nodded. Neither of us says what we're really thinking. They saw us too. And somehow, I don't think we left that place empty-handed. The distorted hearing, the crawling shadows, they're still with me. I don't know if we ever really escaped, or if we just brought something back with us. The headlights stretch into endless darkness ahead. And in the back seat, just for a second, I swear I hear breathing. Breathing that isn't ours. We drove and drove and drove. Mile after mile of empty blacktop stretching ahead. The only sound, the hum of the engine and our ragged breathing. Neither of us spoke. Neither of us dared. The world outside the car windows didn't look right anymore. The trees bent wrong. The stars flickered too fast, like they were shivering. Casey pressed herself against the passenger door, staring straight ahead, hands knotted white in her lap. The distortion in my ears hadn't gone away either. If anything, it got worse. I could still hear the breathing, low, steady, coming from the back seat. But every time I glanced over my shoulder, there was nothing there. Just darkness. The fuel gauge needle trembled near empty. I didn't remember using that much gas. Didn't remember driving far enough for it to make sense. I gritted my teeth, pressing harder on the pedal. The car lurched. The dashboard lights flickered.
Come on,
I hissed. Another 100 yards, another bend in the road. The engine sputtered, coughed, died. We coasted to a slow, grinding stop. Nothing but darkness around us. No lights, no houses, no cell service. I twisted the key in the ignition again. Again. Nothing. Casey turned to me, her eyes huge and wet.
What do we do?
I opened my mouth. Then I heard it. Footsteps. Soft at first, growing louder. From the trees. Shapes peeling themselves out of the tree line. Tall, thin, wrong. The same things we saw at the campsite. The things the dogman ran from. They moved slowly, deliberately, their melted faces rippling under the moonlight like water over a corpse. Not running. Not rushing. Because they knew there was nowhere left to run. Casey grabbed my hand, her nails digging into my skin. I squeezed back, my heart hammering against my ribs like it was trying to escape my chest. We didn't speak. What was there left to say? The first figure reached the edge of the road and smiled. I don't know how far we got before they caught up. I don't even know if I'm still me anymore. If you find this, if you're reading this, stay the hell away from White Mountain National Park. Don't camp there. Don't hike the trails. Because once they see you, they don't ever stop following you.